If we can agree that Hennig's is the only theoretically justifiable definition of relationship, and the one we should accept, how do we set about building a tree or inferring relationships of common ancestry? If you think about the problem, you'll realize that the ideal way of building the tree would be by recognizing evolutionary novelties, the innovations that characterize different lineages or groups of species. In an ideal tree, each node would be marked by one or more novelties, characters unique to the group of species stemming from that node. I've put an example as number 5, one dealing with familiar animals, the apes or hominoids. That tree has one peculiar feature, the way the chimpanzee is linked to two different places. But that's done to emphasize a particular problem that we'll get to in a minute, the fact that there are two different sets of characters, the ones labeled 7A and 7B, and each suggests different relationships for the chimpanzee. The question I want to tackle at the moment is how this tree was built up by recognizing evolutionary novelties, or shared derived characters. Synapomorphy is the technical term for a shared derived character. Here the word derived is used in the evolutionary sense of advanced or specialized. The authors of this tree of hominoids, Peter Andrews and Lawrence Martin, gave a list of characters for each of the numbered branches of the tree. As an example, let's take branch 5, the one distinguishing African apes and us from the orangutan. They listed about 10 characters for that branch, but I'll just mention 3 of them. The first is fusion of the os centrali, the second is that the frontal sinus is developed, and the third relates to mutations in DNA. And I want to ask how you might decide that these features are innovations or synapomorphies. Take the os centrali first. It's a bone in the wrist, one of the carpals. In orangs and gibbons, there are 9 bones in the wrist, 9 carpals. But in African apes and us, there are only 8. Given that information, either state might be primitive or derived. So how do we decide that 8 is derived? In this case, it's easy, because in the embryo of all these animals, there are 9 carpals. But in us and in African apes, 2 of them, the centrali and the scaphoid, fuse together. So we begin life with no carpals, then we develop 9 carpals, and we end life with 8 of them. Now, in using this developmental sequence as evidence for evolutionary transformation, we aren't just appealing to the theory of recapitulation, the idea that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. We're using a much older theory or law, one proposed by the embryologist von Baer in the 1820s. Von Baer's law says that development proceeds from the general to the particular. The most general characters appear first, and the most particular or restricted appear last. The idea here is that development recapitulates not phylogenetic history, but the systematic hierarchy, so that characters of the largest groups appear first, and characters of the most restricted groups appear last.